This is the Chief and Sean Show, and we are live in the 405.
We're not live, but we are back.
We're live.
No, we're not. We are back.
And we're live.
Weekly, not live.
We're sort of live.
Okay, to everyone listening, or, well...
The people who are listening.
The few that listen, here's the deal. Speed Society is going to be hosting all of these podcasts. You're going to be seeing a ton from these guys. How big are they, Sean?
It's the biggest automotive website in the world, and, I mean, they got a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, we're stoked to be working with guys like that, for sure. Anytime we can align ourselves with other huge automotive people, this is perfect. So,
also, stop listening now and go and like it and comment on it, and the sooner you do that, hopefully, the more podcast episodes you'll hear.
The Crow 405, Murder Nova, Midwest Street Cars, like it, comment on us, tell us who you are, tell us why you listen to it. Keep this going, please. There are people that don't want this to keep going.
There's people right now trying to put an end to this. They don't want us on the air.
And we got guys like Speed Society that want to help us keep it going. So
welcoming us.
Let's do it. Rock and roll. Help everybody out.
And while you're there, check it out. Their website's awesome.
Welcome back to the Chief and Sean Show. It is Tuesday. We are on time, sort of. We're actually going to do.
I mean, it's Tuesday.
We're going to do a podcast on Tuesday, like we're supposed to, and this should give us a few days break of you guys not yelling and screaming at us and making me feel terrible for never being where I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
But the bottom line is that I'm always on time, and
on your time.
Yeah, I'm on Indian time.
There you go.
And Indian time means I get there whenever I'm going to be there. But guaranteed, when I get there, I'm going to be fucking awesome.
100% when you get there.
Yeah, and I'm good at stuff. So it kind of just, I make everyone else accommodate for the time that I'm not there. But when I get there, I'm not going to be answering my phone or, like, you know, dicking off.
Yeah, like, we know that.
and you don't realize this because you're never there until you're there. It sucks when you're not there.
See?
Nothing, like, I know. You know, you always say, nothing ever cool happens until you show up.
Right. And if you live...
There are some things
and
that
I've actually tried
that's
to
pretty cool before you get there.
I've tried just to prove that
but
wrong,
we redo it when I get there.
Yeah, but then we all tell you about it, and then we all laugh again.
Yeah.
So you don't ever really miss anything.
No. And, McDougal is, he's been around for, that's Monkey's brother, right?
Yep, McDougal.
McDougal. He's, his actual name is Justin McDaniel. And he's been around us for a long time. We've been doing the race car thing kind of together in the same.
He is a race car. He's race
car. He's the only person I've ever met that is actually a race car.
He looks like a race car.
I actually changed my title.
We go out and we do race car things, and everything we do is race car.
Sure his driver's license says race car.
We're about race car. You know, like, it's what we do. It's what we want to do. All we want to do is race cars. That's it. But Justin takes it a step further than that, and he actually has become a race car. Yeah. Like, he believes in his fucking crazy, demented world that he is a race car. Like, it's one of the most contagious things that I've ever, been a part of with someone. Because usually when I meet someone or we hang out with someone, like, they're usually not cool enough for me to actually want to, like, listen to them talk and stuff. But this guy, when he talks about being a race car, you get this sense of he's fucking insane. Like, you're like, wait, like, you're sitting there, and I'm like, when he's telling me about it the first time, he was like, no, he's like, I don't think you fucking understand, Chief. He's like, I'm a race car. And I was like, I was sitting there, and I was like,
okay, that's
cool.
And I was like, all right, man, so that's cool. You're a race car. And he's like, no, like, fucking seriously, I'm a race car. He's like, if you know me, all we do is I talk about race car. I'm on my way to go do race car. I'm looking at buying stuff for race car. And he's like, I'm race car.
Yeah.
Like, that's who I want to hang out with is other race cars. And he's like, I don't even care if you're there or not. I just want to hang out with other race cars like me. And I sat there in the truck and I was listening to him say this. And I was like, man, this guy's got fucking problems. Like,
and he's from east of I-35.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that in itself is a whole nother deal.
If you're from the 405 or Oklahoma City or anywhere around this area, you know, after years of being here, you know the different types of people that there are in this area. And there's something to be said about the fucking, you know, weirdness and craziness that goes on east of I-35.
Well, and plus the town that he's from it's the biggest weirdness.
It's the Mecca.
It's the Mecca of weirdness.
Yeah,
east
he's,
of I-35.
He's from the Little Axe area, right? And that is people from there are cool.
There's a lot
they
of cool,
cool
going on
there's
in Little Axe.
A lot of cool
and,
going
and I never even knew about this until I moved up here and I met Monkey and his brother. And then you start realizing where the fuck are these guys from? And then all of a sudden, every once in a while, they'll bring a buddy with them or something, and they're equally as cool. And you're like, holy shit, they're different.
Yeah,
sure.
They're different. And so Monkey's been with us forever. He did Heat and Air with me before we ever even got into the, you know, trying to be race cars. And
we were semi race cars.
We were part time race cars.
Part time race car.
And so, you know, you guys all recognize Monkey from that crappy TV show that we're on. He's the guy with the big beard and always telling me not to do things and trying to tell everybody. He tells the deal. Monkey's the deal maker.
I get the deal daily.
So if something's going on, Monkey's going to tell you the deal. He's going to tell you how it works before he proves you wrong.
Yes.
And his brother is McDaniel. And so they're the Monkey brothers. And when we went to Georgia, it was the first time that McDougal has actually, like, gone racing with us, like, as part of our, you know, group of race cars. And
we took like 7 race cars with us.
And I'm not kidding you, man. When we opened the trailer Monday morning to go to Georgia and he showed up here to go with us, of course I was 3 hours late.
No,
he wasn't.
No, I mean, I really wasn't, but technically, you know what I mean? But there was.
But everybody else was here three hours before you.
I was here at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you did get here at 9. There was a period of time where we were waiting.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And then, but then when I got here.
It was cool after that.
It was cool. And
I was on the road, and we're all in a big, huge group text. And McDougal is waiting at the shop before I even leave my house. We left at like 6. And he's already talking about he's at the shop. And we're on the road well over 3 hours before, and he's still at the shop waiting.
Well, I got here and we decided that before we leave, we're not really sure that the motor's okay in the car. So we were going to like try and fix it real quick. And, before we didn't even take it out of the trailer, we just opened the oil filter and it was full of bearing material and Monkey and McDougal
looked
were
like
standing there.
Rush.
Yeah.
300 ounces of gold.
the biggest pot ever.
That's the biggest clean out we've had.
Yeah, wherever his fucking Schnobel or whatever that big nose kid is, he would have fucking freaked out if he seen that. Well, Monkey was like, damn. He's like, this isn't good.
And then he starts telling you why.
And he starts telling you the deal.
And he gets done telling the deal, McDaniel's already got the thing taken apart.
McDougal, he's like shutting the trailer up and he's like getting in the truck. He's like, we're still going, right? And I'm like, well, the motor's like trashed. And he's like, yeah, we'll find a motor when we get down there or something. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, we're going.
We'll hit a couple of parts stores on the way.
Yeah. So
get some of them sealed power bearings from the O'Reillys.
He's like, it's Monday. We don't have to qualify till Wednesday, dude. We got plenty of time. I was like, we have 20 hours of driving we have to do in there somewhere, you know? So anyway, that's kind of like what, and of course, the whole time he's just ripping the motor apart when we're there, ripping it apart in parking lots on the way. And he's, you know, he is race car. He doesn't need a hotel room.
He stayed at the track.
He doesn't need anything. He just needs a little bit of
I would like more food next time.
Food. He needs a very minimum amount of food.
I didn't get fat on accident.
And the first couple nights we were there, he needed a couple cases of water.
Yeah.
Once
2 or 3 a day.
Yeah.
So for the people at home who don't know who McDougal is or doesn't care, let's go ahead and bore them with a little bit of like
Who he is.
Why are you here?
Well, because of race car.
because you
there's
found
several of them in the
who
shop.
Can race car like you race car. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Man, I obviously Little Axe. That describes me in one word. If you're not from
Little Axe. Listen, he said Little Axe describes me in one word. That shows you a little bit about the education
together.
System.
It runs Axe. Together. It's all one word. It's like race car is not 2 words. It's 1 word.
All right. So how did you end up like here though?
Well, I think if we fast forward to the childhood stuff where me and Monkey tore everything up. I mean, there's nothing safe. If it was put together, we took it apart. That's just how we were.
Or you broke it and then Monkey helped you fix it.
Yeah, and he gave me the deal the whole time. He's like, dude, if you wouldn't have popped the clutch like that, this whole lawnmower rear end wouldn't have fell out. He's like, we talked about this. Yeah. Don't pop the clutch.
Because the first time that we actually met you,
Man, I love remembering shit.
The first time that we actually met you was pretty epic in itself. So,
yeah.
How did you come up? How did you get to street racing with the group in the 405? Like, how did
tell a little bit about that sweet ass fucking Malibu.
That Malibu was legit. I wish I could have it back.
We know it was legit.
So, here I am with this 79 Malibu. I mean, literally the biggest piece of crap on earth. I didn't even pay money for it. I got it in a trade deal.
Hell no, you didn't pay no money for
you bartered, you bartered that shit.
I bartered for it for a 95 Mitsubishi Galant. So, we end up with a race car. Me and Jason never...
That was a race car?
Sort of, yeah.
That was a race car? Okay, go ahead.
It had a bolt-on Pro Stock hood.
Did you not see the hood?
No,
that
I remember.
That thing was a race car, and then he lightened it up by taking the whole front end off of it.
No headlights.
Yeah, no headlights, no grill, no bumper.
People on Instagram hate on me every day because I don't have headlights in my car yet, saying it's not a street car, but yet this guy shows up with not even, like, of stickers that look like headlights.
Hey,
just
we didn't
zero.
Even say anything. We said, you going to make a pass? And he was like, fuck yeah, I am.
I saw the car on that, whatever you could call that trailer he was pulling behind him. I thought,
the old mobile home.
We just strapped axles to the bottom of the car and pulled it. So we go to the track, me and Monkey, and we know nobody. We've never been to the track other than drinking beer on Beer Hill.
And this was 10 years ago, probably.
Yeah, 10 years ago. We didn't know a single person. Never heard of Midwest Street Cars. And we're out there hot lapping the shit out of this car. I mean, running out of gas halfway down the track. I mean, battery falls over and catches the car on fire. Lots of cool stuff goes down. And some kid, Stroker was his name. Remember that guy?
Stroker?
Yeah, I remember Stroker had the third-gen Camaro.
Yeah, the third-gen Camaro.
He worked at...
So he asked me, are you on Midwest Street Cars?
Oh,
I said,
yeah,
what's
remember.
That? He goes, well, it's a website. I said, well, I don't got the internet in Little X. I don't know about that. He's like, look, man, it's about street racing, and we meet up at, over here at the Sonic. I'm like, y'all street race up in the city? I street race all the time. I don't got nobody to race me.
I mean,
we run this thing up and down 180th all night long until the cops show up, and then we go to the 192nd because that's a mile away. So we go to this, and he's like, be at the Sonic at 10 o'clock. Of course, I get there at 10 o'clock. Chief shows up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, natural.
Talking about y'all ready?
Yeah. We pull up. Of course, I have my company truck, you know, server's bed, this janky trailer we come up with, and a piece of shit Malibu. And I thought it was really nice. I didn't understand y'all had nice stuff. I thought everybody that street raced had pieces of junk like me.
Well, yeah, because out in Little Axe, you and Russell Bauman and all them, they all had the same car.
Yeah, we were legit. Like, the nicer of the couple.
Yeah.
And it was definitely the fastest. So we show up, and Chief walks over. He goes, who are you? I was like, who are you? He's like, are you on the invite section? I was like, what the fuck's an invite section?
Yeah, so for those that don't know, back in the day, we had a forum, and there was a secret section called invite only. And so whenever we would...
big deal.
It was. And whenever you'd meet up, those guys that met up, they were all from that invite only section. So if you saw somebody new... The first thing I had to do is be like, hey, are you invited?
Well, it was like Fight Club.
You checked me right there at the trailer.
Yeah, because I want to know who the fuck told him about what we're doing and how did he get here, because he looks like somebody could get us busted in a hurry.
Yeah,
because
he's going to be out there drinking.
I'm super incognito.
He's going to be out there drinking and doing donuts.
Yeah,
you know?
Crashing that fucking car. He looked like he crashed it 3 times on the way there.
It slid forward and hit the front of the trailer. I mean, I was missing all the header and stuff.
Nothing. I mean, it had a four fucking foot Pro Stock scoop on the front, like a whale penis hanging off the front of this fucking
definitely
car.
Definitely different color than the rest of the car was like gold or something.
Gold with a gray front clip.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, I promise you, when it comes down to like spending money on the car, you think, does paint make it go faster? Does a front bumper make it go faster? And all those things are no. So you just don't buy those. You're like, but a better nitrous plate makes it go faster, so you buy that.
Yeah. Right, or two of them.
Or
stack
three
them on top
of them.
Of each
I've done
other.
That, I mean, that's just how you got to roll.
Right, so you're there, you're invited, but you weren't invited.
Right, so Chief checks me. He's like, who are you? You in the invite section? I don't even know what that is. I mean, he's like, I was on Midwest Street Cars. I was like, I don't know. Somebody said that the other day. I don't know nothing about that either. I was like, but I heard y'all were street racing. He's like, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Because we're trying to act like we don't know what he's talking about, but yet there's 10 cars in the parking lot with trailers. And
you could definitely look at him and tell he's not a cop.
I had Russell with me with a Get Some tattoo on his belly, and he wasn't wearing a shirt, so drinking a Milwaukee's best.
And it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so he checks me for a little bit, gives me a hard time.
Well, there was no telling him to leave, because him and the guy with the Get Some tattoo and his brother, I mean, they're not the type that are just going to go, no, man, I get it. We'll try again next time. No, he's He's there to street race, goddammit, yeah. And he's going
to
street race.
I drove an hour to get here. That's an hour from my house. I mean, I wasn't leaving.
Probably had 2-3 flats on the trailer.
Oh, yeah. It was a bad deal, man.
Wasn't even long enough to get drunk.
No.
So we get that all sorted out, and then we roll over to the spot, and they invite me to. Of course, everybody's super skeptical of my nice ride. And
nobody was willing to race it.
He looks me right in the face, right as I'm pulling up to the burnout box, and he's like, look, man, it's really foggy out here. The road's wet. If it gets out of shape, it's not worth it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, because who were you racing?
Stroker in that third gym.
Yeah, the guy who told you to come out there.
Yeah,
the guy who invited you. At this point, we're thinking that the guy who invited you, you're fixing to take out the kid that invited you out there.
Yeah, so we were cool.
Well, yeah, that was just part of the
game.
And
he had a nice third gym. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you had a
nice Malibu.
It was definitely a Malibu. It was
I felt mine was nicer than his. I mean,
maybe east of I-35.
Yeah. I mean, nobody had a third gen out there. Never even seen one of those. So we pull up. He tells me if it's not worth it, man. If it gets out of shape, just get out of it. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, because I can see this guy in his open face helmet, and I'm like, yeah, this dude here, he's not out here for the race. He's out here for the glory. Like, yeah. And where he races, there's not curbs and shit.
This guy's got something to prove.
Like this guy's fixing to have some fun. He's only going to be in that car for a few seconds. He's going to make it fucking worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus, that's all we need is some fucking idiot from Little Axe rolling his fucking junky-ass Malibu out here. And, God, the cops would just be all over us then. Because there'd be beer cans and meth pipes everywhere.
Yeah,
and
falling out of the car as it was rolling.
Yeah, and then they'd run.
Yeah.
You know, because who cares? The Malibu probably wasn't theirs anyway.
Wouldn't have no title anyways.
We'd all be
sure didn't.
We'd all be standing there holding the fucking bullshit. So,
yeah, so we go ahead and pull up, do our burnouts. We get to racing. He's in front of me. I grab everything I got, multiple kits. You know, of course, they're like big shot plates stacked on top of each other. You know, works great. One of them was upside down spraying out of the carburetor, not in the motor. Yeah. You know, my carburetor's the base plate's backwards, so the choke horn's in the back, which I never knew that was a problem until like 4 years later. Henson tells me, what's wrong with your carburetor? I'm like, nothing. Why? He goes, why is a choke tube in the back?
And it works great.
I was like, what do you mean? He goes, that's backwards. So I go home and all, you know, worried about it and change it. It never runs the same. So I'll just change it back. Yeah. The way it's been all
it
these
years. It
wasn't
backwards, was it?
It was fine.
I think the car was backwards.
Yeah. Well, maybe we put the motor in backwards.
I watched this first pass that you made, and it was something else, man.
Oh, sorry. Hang on, guys. Sorry. We gotta take a quick pause here. In case you guys didn't know, I'm running a little low on the fundage. And
this deal don't pay for itself.
No, this podcast thing actually costs money. And so I'm going to have to stop you right there for a second, and then I'm going to have to give a shout-out to the people that are helping me pay for this.
I mean, there's people that make this deal happen.
Yeah, and this is if there was ever a time to sell out, it's now. Love books?
I do.
But find that you never have time to read them? Well, Audible.com has the perfect solution. Get audiobooks and listen to those books you've been meaning to read while you're on the go. At the gym, during your commute, Audible.com provides over 180,000 titles from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers.
I mean, and their apps are free. It works on iPhones, iPads, even Androids and Windows phones. I mean, you can download and listen to your Kindle Fire and over 500 MP3 players. And unlike a streaming or rental service with Audible, you own the books.
Audible. Yeah. Sean needs more books.
Yeah, I need more books instead of listening to them. I need to read them. You own your books, so you can access your books at any time, anywhere, right from your smartphone.
I mean, I feel like this is going to be a big thing for our listeners. They're big readers.
They are.
But, I mean,
and they got plenty of time.
McDougal, what about Little Axe? Big readers out in Little Axe?
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be good for them, right?
Lots of.
Audible.com also has the Great Listen Guarantee. If you decide that you don't like the book that you chose, no worries. People in Little Axe, you can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. That is the Great Listen Guarantee.
And it's like Walmart. They'll take it back. I mean, in all seriousness, we travel a lot. And when you got kids, you know, they sit in the back seat, download their favorite book. Aiden loves,
He loves all the Lord of the Rings, all that type of stuff. And he downloads them. He sits in the back and he listens to them. And it's great to keep him occupied.
Does he download them on audible.com?
He does, man. Not on his Kindle. He has an iPad.
Ah. Well, just for listeners, audible.com. McDougal's looking at me like, wow, this is really happening.
The Malibu store
and just for listeners, audible.com is offering a free 30-day trial membership. Go to audible.com/Chief and Sean today and start your free trial today. Again, show your support for the Chief and Sean Show and get a free 30-day trial at audible.com/Chief and Sean. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of that because, you know, we're trying to...
Because it costs money to do this.
Yeah, and we're just going in the hole here. I mean, every day. So,
That's what she said.
You know, so who knows? I mean, this is going to help us keep the podcast going and keep it free and keep us on the air. So, you know, big shout out to audible.com, right? Yep. I know that I am going to start maybe looking into more books online now because of this deal, hopefully.
Keeps them occupied.
Yeah. Anyway.
Go check it out.
All right. And
so
back
I saw
to...
this pass that you made. And let me tell you, it was less than stellar. And
what do you mean?
You used the whole road.
I was sawing that wheel like it owed me money.
No, I saw that. Yeah, you was definitely jerking that wheel back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, ran over the flashlight and everything.
There were some obstacle illusions.
Obstacle illusions, yeah.
For you.
It was
though,
like foggy inside my windshield and I couldn't see that well.
Yeah.
I didn't have no windshield wipers or dome lights or headlights.
Helmet, you know, fogged up.
I got that from Get Son's dad.
I've never seen so many people scared for the curb at one time. Like, everybody there was just, like, worried to death that he was going to just kill these damn curbs.
4 foot past that curb is a bunch of power line poles.
Yeah.
And that is really the only thing that I was concerned with.
Oh, dude, he'd have went right through those.
I thought he was going to bring them down.
Not me. I wasn't concerned a lick.
No, we saw you.
That was the last time. The guy who was running the big end that night wasn't Russ. Russ usually runs the big end, but that night it was Shane.
Yeah,
he didn't want
to do it anymore. And plus, you ran over his flashlight.
He made me buy him a flashlight.
You actually bought him a new flashlight?
He was mad about it.
Dude, it was a nice flashlight.
It's like a Snap-on something or another.
Yeah,
and ran that dude right over.
He did. Mows the flashlight over, kills the flashlight.
Because he's still in the throttle.
Well, yeah.
You know.
Like,
yeah.
That was, I mean.
He was part of
it. The race wasn't over.
Did you win that race?
No. I tried though. Believe that.
Hey, it wasn't from a lack of effort. I promise
I gave
you
it hell. Every last second of that pass, I was in the gas.
Gave it hell and all the nitrous you could.
Every
could
bit
get
that it would spray through two cheater plates.
And since then, Shane hasn't done the big end again.
Yes.
You ruined it. You ruined it.
I know
that
he hasn't been around
when
much.
You let people from east of I-35 party with you, they ruin it.
So there's actually a sweet video of that car at the track.
Yeah.
That I've seen.
Is there really?
Yeah.
It actually broke an axle.
Yeah. This was where Monkey was telling me the deal. It was when we first got the nitrous. And he said, look, he goes, I don't really trust that rear end because, mind you, we took his 100-foot extension cord on a 110 MIG welder and MIG welded a leaf spring rear end in a G-body, which was
you
a fan car.
You
had a leaf spring?
No.
You got to see the.
You guys put a leaf spring on that car,
no.
Or you took a leef spring rear end.
Well, you know, like
and welded on the.
You can't do that
because
that's
it's
what
cast.
They did, though. It's cast.
So we had to build some old filled tubing that Monkey found, go up over the rear end housing. Then we found two pieces of pipe and we welded those two pieces of pipe as the eyelids. And then we'd wrap duct tape around the bushing because they were bigger.
Somebody in Little Axe is missing their gate because of this car.
Yeah. Damn.
So we made that work, and the Monkey was worried about
it. Yeah, it worked.
And he was like, man.
Have you ever seen the pictures of it? There's fucking pictures of that rear end in that car. Unbelievable. I've never, to this day, I still can't imagine that Monkey would ever have anything to do with
it. And
that.
It held hard, you know.
We were going
to
brace it
good
up.
Enough
we didn't get around to it.
It held good enough to break the axle.
Yeah, it went low tens like that. No problems.
Yeah, and then Monkey drove it one time, caught it on fire.
Burned the whole car down, 1,000-foot doors open, smoke rolling out. I mean, literally fire coming out of it.
It's a good thing he could get out real quick with no seatbelt on it.
No door bars or seatbelt.
So you got rid of that car.
Yeah, I had to sell it.
That sucks.
You sold it. Somebody bought it?
I actually, if you want to know the truth.
No, he goes, yeah. No, no.
I traded it.
No, what did you fuck this guy out of?
For a center section for Baron's Cutlass when I first got it from
you
Flip.
You traded a whole race car for a center section?
I kept my 6AL. He didn't get that.
Oh, man. God.
So I traded him for a center section because I got that Cutlass from Flip and I needed a center section. And
yeah, the Cutlass that Baron has now.
The one that Baron ended right. up with.
Yeah, the one that we bought for Flip and then Flip sold it to you under the table and didn't tell us about it.
Yeah, he was like, remember? Yeah, don't tell those guys. I was like, well, wow. Aren't they going to see it when I take it out? And he goes, well, maybe they'll forget by then. Don't worry about it.
Good old Flip.
Yep.
So now you're working. Back then you were a generator mechanic or something, and you got fired from that.
You had to give that job up.
Yeah, pulling your race car to the track and street racing with a company truck. There were some issues.
Right, and then there was other issues.
There was. And then I heard about some issues.
And then you ended up taking
a little time off of race car.
Fellowship. You went to the fellowship for a little while.
Yep.
Come back from there and refreshed and ready to race car, right?
Yep. And then I realized
you had a lot of time to.
When I thought about it,
to read books,
I had all this time.
Did you ever get on audible.com?
Well, if you would have known about that, I had snuck in my shoe, didn't have audible.com.
Oh,
you would have known about it though.
If I'd have known,
it's weird
you
could have
looked up a bunch of race
cars. If you would have keistered a decent phone, it works on iPad, iPhones, Android, Windows, it works on everything. Well, it should have worked.
I wouldn't have tried
not
it
your
on
flip
Android.
Phone, though.
No,
yeah, my flip phone wasn't working.
You got back from there, now you're building race car engines. Every
correct.
Day.
Correct.
You are a race car.
Well,
explain to me why. Hang on. Explain to me this race. Explain the race car thing. Explain that, because it's tough for people to understand when you talk and you say things like you're a race car. You sound like my 6-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people look at you like, oh, this
what's
guy's special.
You? But we're used
you know
to
what
it
mean?
By that, now.
It's
so
a good
we don't
thing.
Think anything
no,
of it.
But they look at me and they're like, man, Chief, you're a good guy for taking that guy to the races
look at that.
And stuff with you. Yeah. You
he's
know
giving
I mean?
Him like four
you know,
cheeseburgers. A
they're
day.
Like, they're
he's a
like,
nice
man,
guy.
That, and then they're like telling their buddies, like, that guy over there thinks he's a fucking race car.
No,
like,
really. I mean,
he said
really
he has tires.
He's a race car.
What's the deal with that?
Man, there's just nothing else. Like, everything I do it 100%. There's a reason, like, I can't hunt anymore because I did it too much.
Yeah,
so,
no, you tried to extinct the population of deer in
right.
many states.
So then, then they tell me I can't hunt no more.
Even
so
like pet baby deer.
I had to refocus my energy into race cars. And it's curbed my addiction of the deer. So therefore,
sort of.
That's why like I don't do drugs, because if I did
very
drugs,
much.
I'd be really good at it. Like I would do it too much.
You'd take it all the way.
Yeah, I would be a drug.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so you used to be an avid deer hunter. You were an outdoorsman type.
Yeah. I was a deer. Then I became a race car.
And then you were so good at being a deer that they wouldn't let you be a deer anymore.
No, they took that.
People
really?
Came in and wouldn't allow you to be a deer anymore.
They were why were they intimidated that you could become a deer, or what was the problem?
I think
there?
So. I think that was jealousy.
It was jealousy. It was jealousy. Because well, I mean, it's weird though. Like I know that you've told me before, like kind of how many deer that you've came into contact with or whatever,
all of them.
Allegedly. Like, but it's weird because like you only have a certain amount that you can you can wipe off this face of the earth, and your amount is a lot was more than that at one, like
10 or 15 times that.
Yeah. So how is it that you were able to deer so much?
That's all I did.
Because he was deer.
I was deer.
Like day and night he was deer.
I would have a panic attack if I left the house without a gun in my truck. Like it would like make me have anxiety attacks. I'm like,
because you were scared.
But what if
I
seen a deer
oh.
and I didn't be able to capitalize on this opportunity? Like
so did you like hang out with deer like you do race cars?
Yeah, I don't have any friends. Like they were just deer. Like that's the only people I cared about being around.
So it, I mean,
no,
it's,
I, like,
it's public record.
Like,
there
was
a billboard made after you at one time because you were
thing.
So deer.
Like how y'all are race car and got me race car. Like I had friends when I was a kid that were deer also. And then
but
they
not
got,
like this. Not
no,
like
they
you
were,
deer.
Like no, they were
they
deer
were same
too.
Deer as
oh,
you.
They were
deer.
Same. Really?
Yeah. They showed me the ways of deer, and then I got carried away, And naturally, if you're going to do something.
You overcame their deer.
And you started growing fucking antlers is what happens.
Okay. I mean, if you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
All right. An estimate here. Help me out because I'm not a big hunter. I don't really. I've never killed a deer on purpose or anything like that. So, like, how many fucking deer are we talking about here in your lifetime?
Like, ever?
Yeah, in your lifetime.
In your lifetime.
Deer.
Give me an estimate. I feel like it's a big number, buddy. I feel like it's a big number.
Like a really big number. More than I should have.
Obviously. Because, I mean, they made you stop, deer.
Yeah, and you haven't deer now for how long?
What are you, a cop?
Wait a minute. What are you getting at?
Well,
we'll strike that question from the record.
Yeah. I withdraw that question.
Okay. But you deered so much, like, you're not even allowed to have a weapon anymore. You're not allowed to have a gun anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid what you'll do with it.
Right. No, it because it wasn't. Deer. I mean, they said I couldn't even have a big knife or anything. I mean, it says
you deered
that
bad.
Yeah, it says I can't have spears, bows, large knives.
You can't even have like a rock tied to a string because you'll
slingshots,
deer.
None of it.
Really? Nothing?
Can't be trusted.
Because you are a can't be trusted. Now, we have established that. Justin McDaniel is a can't be trusted.
Well, I mean, that's why the race car thing's so good because other than the street racing aspect, and obviously that can cause some problems, it's really fairly legal. I mean, you might be broke.
Yeah.
But at least you're not breaking the law of being a race car.
Yeah. Well, not very much.
not all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes.
But a lot of the times.
So you've harnessed your deer energy and your deer spirit, and you've harnessed this, you've controlled it, you've calmed it down, but you've focused it on cars racing.
Right.
And now you're a fucking race car.
Correct.
And what does that mean?
That's all I do. Like, I that's my job. That's my hobby. That's what I look at on my phone at 11 o'clock at night when I'm not sleeping. That's what I text all my friends about. If you text me about anything other than race cars, I probably won't respond. If you text me green, I'm definitely not responding.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, there's a big reason why I don't do green, because those people might try to send me a race car video, and it will be blurry.
When you're talking about green, you're talking about anyone that doesn't have an iPhone.
Yeah, outside of the
like an Android or like a Google phone, anything. Right. And they text you, it's green.
It has to be blue.
And the whole reason that you don't, you don't fuck with green.
Period.
You won't fuck with green people.
You won't.
And the whole reason is because of what now?
The fear of them sending me a video that it looks like I got taken with a potato.
So yes. Of a race car.
Of a race car.
They would have to email it to you.
Yeah, see, I don't do that either. I don't even check those. I got like 3,000 of them.
Well, who can check those when you're a race car?
Right, yeah.
You don't have time for that.
You don't have time for that.
Okay, so everything in life is race car.
Yes. Well, the wife don't like that so much, but she tolerates it fairly well.
But your wife is married to a race car.
Yeah. She has to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's tough being married to
a race car. But 10 years ago, she married a deer, so she has learned to understand problems.
Does she like the race car better than the deer?
The deer thing was usually while she was sleeping. The race car's like for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll just disappear to Georgia for a week.
But you're not going to get in the trouble that you got in while you were a deer.
Oh, you rode around with Jeep?
Oh, yeah. It's a little. Yeah.
Sometimes we ride on the shoulder at 105 miles an hour while we're texting and watching a movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you're with Chief, there's a lot of trouble that could happen. You never have to worry about deer, though.
I keep my shoes on.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. You might have to run.
So your wife, which she's been around this stuff for a long time, and she knows all of us, and, you know, she's been out to the races and she's done the race car stuff and she's been around and she's like, you know, she's a part of it. She was a big part of the website when it was around, you know, and surely though that she didn't think that you would become a race car. Like, no, she knew that you liked race car and she knew that you did race car, but how does she feel that now that you've actually turned into a race car?
She knew I was a race car back when it was just me and Monkey. Like, I didn't even have race car friends. Like, it was just me and Monkey. And I didn't even have, I had like a Razor that was green. And I didn't even text because I was scared of the green then. So, you know, it's been an addiction. I say an addiction, it's just a lifestyle. I mean, it's just what you do. I mean, being a car guy, at least at my level, I don't even have a car and I'm still a race car.
You don't need a car. You are a race car.
Correct. If you become race car, like I make sure everything I touch goes faster. I think about it. I study it. I look at it. I try to understand it. I watch what other people are doing and then take what they're doing and try to apply it to what I'm doing. and I take control of people's programs. Like, I'll just like walk up and be like, "Hey, yeah, we're gonna have to put some time in that. It looks like suck." Yeah. So, like, I don't have the personality to just be part of a crew and hang out and watch people do things and like, "Oh yeah, I'll air up your tires."
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't, and that's like this whole thing of becoming a race car. Like, you couldn't be into like football or baseball, because then you have to watch someone else's life and know their statistics and watch them be good at what they want to do.
Right.
And you're just,
while I'm sitting on the couch thinking about, man, I wish I played football.
Right. Like, there's like, that's a hobby to some people, though. A hobby to some people is actually sports is a hobby. They don't play them.
Right.
They just follow sports and they wear the shit and they think that they can become a sport. But like, you have, like, you can't do that. You have to actually race car. Like, when we went to Georgia, you came with us to Georgia, like, you couldn't leave the track because that's where the race cars were.
Right. I felt like I owned them.
Like, when you were one of them. Like, when we, like, when we went to,
I would sit in the golf cart for hours and watch the race cars, make sure nothing happened to them.
Well, every time I showed up, you was already, you know, knee deep up in, you know, Chief's race car.
Yeah, it's a piece of junk. You had to do all kind of stuff to it.
Yeah,
but there's always, but it and our program is really good for you because there's always something that can be done.
I mean, we got your car and his motor. I mean, you're busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seemed like, though, that you have a better time when
there's lots of problems.
When there's race car problems.
Well, yeah, because I don't like to sit in a chair and think about, man, sure wish I was those guys over there race carring. Like, I would end up over there.
those guys are rebuilding that tranny over there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, if we got there and you didn't have any problems, I probably would have been over in some nitrous guy's pit putting pistons in.
You did.
Well, yeah, you, I wouldn't help
you. After the pass, you checked the oil filter. You said, "Hey, man, I think we're good. I'm going to go race car somewhere else for a little while." And he left me to go race car with someone who was race car, because we weren't race car at the moment.
Yeah, you hadn't hurt nothing, so those guys had a piston to put in, so we went over there and put a piston in.
Race car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what I do.
Everything.
Well, yeah. Everything. All the time.
He's way more race car than I am.
That's why I've amassed so many good friends. I mean, like James Goad, great friend.
Yeah.
Chuck. I mean, me and him get along great.
What you about really don't get along
girl
with
from Texas?
Oh, yeah. She's another engine builder. Shannon. Me and her get along great because we share techniques and the way we do things. We get along great.
See, for those of you that are listening, that's a lie. Those are lies.
That's all lies.
No one likes Justin McDaniel, literally. Like, no one.
He's been banned a lot of places.
He gets banned from everything. Every website.
He's too race car.
Yeah. I mean, he...
People don't like my pushy ways.
Hey, he's troll.
He's the biggest troll on the internet I've ever seen. And it's so
awesome. Bad.
It's awesome sometimes, but sometimes it's just like,
people get them mad.
Right. He needs something to race car, or else he trolls on the internet.
He's been race carring so much lately that he hasn't trolled a whole lot.
I know.
But you can tell when he starts trolling,
this morning,
he needs some race car to do.
This morning I was trolling. And I thought to myself the exact same thing. Man, I really need to get to Memphis. Yeah. There's some shit to fix out there.
Yeah, there's some shit to fix out there.
and by trolling, you've pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, I'm blocked from a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, when we pulled into Georgia, like, I felt like we were going to have to put him up on the project so that he could sleep. Like, like I was telling him, I was like, "Man, I'm sorry, dude. It was kind of late notice. Like, we don't have an extra hotel room." And he's like, "Well, the race cars aren't leaving the track, though, right?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, okay, I'm here then, because... Yeah. I go with the race cars.
Just bring me some food."
Yeah, he said, "Bring me some food." And he found a place to sleep with the race cars.
And there were some guys making possum three trailers down that shared. And so
yeah,
I ate some
was
possum.
That legit? Did you really eat possum there?
Me and Monkey both did. Monkey ate it, like ate the gristle out of the knee joints and stuff.
Oh my God.
There was like there was the roof of a mouth.
I wouldn't even know that that's a thing. Out of their knee joints.
Oh my God.
No, he had like their little knee joints. He's biting the gristle out of it. I was like, "Man, I can't go that bad, but I'm hungry." And I like scraped some of the meat off with a fork and like mix it with the rice they had, and I ate that.
You ate possum.
Wow. Yeah.
Because, you're
the guys that took me didn't bring no food, so we had to make do. There was possum being cooked, and we
thought
was the
you
hungry.
Just needed race gas.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
But see, that's the cool thing about having a wife like mine is before I left, she said, "Are you getting a hotel?" I was like, "I don't think so." And she said, "Well, make sure you bring a pillow and a blanket so you can sleep in one of the trailers." She thought I was just going to sleep in one of your enclosed trailers.
That's where the race
and
cars go.
She thought
go.
It was normal.
Because that's
she
where,
didn't even think.
No, she just wanted to make sure
those guys
I had
aren't
a pillow
get you a motel.
Well, no, she didn't think that.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. Because
she knows that you're race cars.
Well, race cars go in the trailer.
Yeah.
Well, when I got to the hotel the last day when we were leaving, y'all didn't have no hotel. Y'all had like suites with bedrooms and kitchens.
They were pretty
and
fucking nice, weren't they?
I was like, dude, these guys. Yeah, you're living it up.
You got to sleep in a hotel that one night. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
Did it run you?
Man. Well, it's a good thing it was over because I wouldn't
the car. But we had taken the cars with us that night.
Yeah, that was the only way we could get him to go.
The cars were at that. I mean, we couldn't leave you at the track because we took the cars.
From the time we left that Monday till we come back like 3 weeks later, whenever that was, because it all blended together.
Seemed like 3 weeks.
Like, I don't think I ever left that black trailer with the white car.
No.
Yeah, I was with the whole time.
The only time that you left the car was whenever we made you leave the car, and we went to we were in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. The car was the motor was out of the car. You had got the motor. You and Monkey got the motor out of the car. Monkey Bros were in full effect. Car was ready, or you know, motor was going to the machine shop to get fixed. And we decided to go and try and relax a little because we knew what the week was going to bring, and we were going to have a beer at a little local establishment called
the Creeping Owl,
the Owl's Nest.
Owl's Nest.
Yeah, that's in close. like Etheridge, Tennessee, or something. And we go in there, and of course, there's no race cars in there. He was the only one. And so, but he made sure and found conversation with these guys and made them race car.
Yeah. Like, that's what we talked. They didn't even know what race cars were. And we made sure we had that conversation.
And I'm sitting there playing pool with Monkey, and Justin McDaniel is over there race carring with these guys, like full on. Like, he was telling them he's a race car. And what's cool is, like, crazy old weirdos in the Owl's Nest in Etheridge, Tennessee, they don't even look at you weird if you tell them I'm a race car.
Well, that's because that guy had a tinfoil hat on.
He did. He had a whole mask. He had a tinfoil mask.
I think that guy was a KKK.
He was a something.
He believed anything that you tell him.
But when he stretched his hand out to give you knuckles and tell you who he was, like McDougal here goes, I'm a race car. Like, that's what he said. And the guy was like, right on. You know? Yeah. Sometimes you got a race car. Yeah, I don't know. You know.
I looked over and seen his aluminum hat, and I was like, what is that? And he goes, well, that's case people start talking about Hillary Clinton. I put it on, keep bullshit from penetrating my brain.
And that's what he said. Nice. And all of us went, oh, my God, this is fucking weird. But not race car here. He accepted him because he's a race car. Yeah. And that guy's a, you know, crazy person. So
yeah, I was like, hey,
they were just
not a bad idea.
Not a bad
How's that been working out? Yeah.
He's like, I can get that guy up here that talks all that crazy stuff. I was like, oh, it'd be all right. We can just talk.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, you need like your own shirt or something that says I'm a race car.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I feel like it. Sometimes I'm a little bit aggressive with it. I mean, it makes people not like me so much. I mean, but the good thing is most of my really good friends are also like me, so it's really not an issue.
Right.
And people that aren't like me end up not liking me, and I didn't like
them
anyway.
And that doesn't matter anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like Chuck, like he don't like me at all.
How
come you and Chuck don't get along?
They hate each other.
He tried to talk on me any which way he wanted to. We had a few issues.
That was this one time.
He tried to what? Say that again.
He tried to talk on me any which way he wanted to.
Yeah, you don't talk on McDougal how you want.
You can't talk on you, huh?
See, Chuck's a lot like a chihuahua. He barks really loud and expects to just scare you off. Well, when you stand there and you look at him like he's stupid, and then he's like, well, fuck, that didn't work. And then he gets all, like, serious about it, and you're like, Chuck, seriously. So I'm going to beat you up. I'm like, well, I mean, you know where my shop is, and I probably won't leave till after 5. So you can come to your shop or you can come to mine.
You guys were actually going to fight.
No, we were going to fight. Luckily, cooler heads prevailed, and we didn't, because obviously my boss likes Chuck, and then they called each other, and then my boss talked me off the ledge of putting him in a chokehold.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, cooler heads prevail. And we tolerate each other. I mean, I think it's a known issue that neither one of us really like each other. But, you know, we go and we race car, and I leave him alone. He leaves me alone.
Well, yeah, you got to be in the same place with some of these people.
Yeah, like, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to show up and just try to fight everybody.
Well, you would if there was no race cars, probably.
Probably. If but we went out to a street race and there was no race cars, like,
then you'd be fight.
Then you'd be fight. Then you would fight.
Then I'd be fight.
But since there's race cars around, you don't even care because you're a race car.
I'm busy.
Because there's race car shit going on.
Yeah, I mean, we were operating a nitrous car. We had, like, pistons to put in and things like that. I mean, there's other shit going on.
And now you and James Goad, the Reaper, the guy who drives the Reaper car, you guys are, there's some hit. Why? Help me out, because we don't even know. We just know that we see y'all out in public and you hate each other. What is the problem with you and the Reaper?
I really think it's...
Because the Reaper, is he a race car too? No, he's not.
He says he is, but he's definitely not.
You as a race car can see through his bullshit.
Yeah. He's got a whole crock of bullshit. He puts a bullshit cloak on and says, I'm a race car, and he is not.
Okay. Like, so what's the problem there? Why do you guys hate each other so much?
I don't really hate him at all. I think he's hilarious because he gets so serious.
But you troll him on a regular
basis. But he makes it easy.
You troll him all the time.
Well, he gets mad because you troll.
Well, like,
and you troll because he gets mad.
Well, I think deep down inside.
So like, it's you know.
Well, like he's over there like stewing, like he's thinking about stabbing me with a screwdriver.
Well, and I felt like
and I'm over there laughing because I've got him so mad he's wanting to quit street racing. Like, right. He literally, like, wanted to quit and leave.
Yeah, because you can't fucking, you can't just be normal through a driver's meeting because you're a race car.
Well, they're so, all, like,
so when everybody's being
normal,
when everybody's in a driver's meeting, you have to troll.
Well, they were like, oh, I've been here for so long. I'm like, goat, you ain't been nowhere. You've been here 3 weeks longer than we have. Why don't you shut the fuck up? You know, so, talking about how, he's like, oh, my boy Sean over there. Fuck you and your boy Sean. You're going to get both of you whooped if you keep talking like that. And then I find out it's this Sean. I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding. Not this Sean. This Sean's all right. He's race car. Yeah. I mean, Goat is.
At Cash Days, I thought y'all were going to fight.
Like, no. I don't think it's. I think it's an episode that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, really? I thought it was Cash Days.
No, there's an episode that hasn't happened yet on the TV show.
In the driver's meeting.
When
he squared up. It was pretty serious.
That they get into it pretty good at.
Yeah.
So that's we can leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be on TV.
There's no doubt in my mind eventually if he continues street racing, which I doubt. I mean, that's just not him. But if he does,
it's just not him.
Have you seen him race? It's terrible.
He went up the list. He beat some people.
Who'd he beat?
He beat some folks.
Shane? Shane's the only one that he beat that was a decent guy at the time.
Shane beat Henson though, right?
Shane beat me that one time.
Shane beat Sean, too.
Shane ain't never beat me.
He ain't never beat me. He ain't never beat me neither, for the record.
No, I mean, like, Goat, the only thing that irritates me about him is he's literally so arrogant that he thought that the list was beneath him, that he was going to show up and run the entire list and be a top one, two, or three car.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was very confident.
I mean, that was the thing about him is I just wanted to, like, shake him and say, look, man, like, I understand you want to be fast, but 5.0s is not fast. Just I want to shake him and tell him that.
Well, a lot of people don't understand, too, that, like, they raced back in the day or they've raced before street
like,
raced.
Like
whenever,
Varley's day. You know, I mean, like an 8-second car was hauling ass.
Well, they just look at the car and they go, I've got enough car. You know what I mean? And I've got enough money, I've got enough car, and I got a truck and a trailer, and I'm gonna go up this fucking list, and that's what they think. And then of course they forget about the whole reason that we street race, and that is anything can happen. Anything. It doesn't matter how much money you have sometimes. Anything. Sometimes it doesn't matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter how good of a race car you are. Sometimes all that matters is that you're night and you won't be beat, you know?
Yes.
And that's the part that a lot of those guys don't ever get. And so when they come out there and they're so cocky and they're like, no, I'm going straight to the top, because they've seen these other guys make passes and they're like, I can beat all of these guys. But then they forget being a race car is tough. You know what I mean?
It's a rough life.
Yeah.
And sometimes the street is going to get the better of the race car.
Yeah.
I promise you, it is beyond stressful to stand there, let's say at Seminole. The road looks beautiful. We've raced on way worse looking roads. And you're standing there thinking, man, we could put some power down.
Let's turn it up.
And but you watch the guy right in front of you go, whoop, blow him off, or whoop.
And you don't
get
a test hit.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? In street racing, you know, you come right off the trailer and you race for all the money in your pocket right then and there.
Super Bowl every time.
And sometimes.
Every race is the final.
And you don't know what the street's like because you haven't been there for a week testing on it. You know what I mean? You don't know what the
tune changed from the night before.
It changes after one pass.
I go back and stand next to Henson's car and look at that computer and literally feel myself age. You know, like, I can feel the wrinkles coming on because I'm like, man, like, I can't be slow because we have a pro mod on the street.
Yeah, you don't want to turn it down enough that you're going to get outran.
But I can't be so fast that I knock tires off and get beat anyway. So I'm over there looking at this kid we got to race at 16 years old. That one didn't air yet, did it?
No.
Okay.
No, that's the one where that was my last. Yeah. That's a big one. That one's coming.
Anyways, you're over there contemplating what you got on your plate, and you're racing an out-of-state guy, and you're like, man, you know, we're already down three races. All that's left is, you know, two cars, and we have to win this one.
We have to win.
And we have to win the next one to even win, to even win as a group, you can feel yourself age. But I watch, in that same situation, I watch Goad go over there and just rev his car up and rack the pipes in the gravel till everybody's covered in gravel dust and really think he's got something going on. He's over there just, whoop-ow! Whoop-ow! And then he shows up and blows the fucking tires off. I'm like, well, I mean, did you look at anything? Did you take any data that you had before on a similar road and try to make that work? I mean, I tried to help him one night at a street race. I told him, I said, I know you're racing this guy. He's fast, and you're going to turn it up. But don't turn it up with that chassis tune-up. You're going to go left and hit the bars. Your bars are 14 inches, man. And they're 8 feet long.
You know all this because you're a race car.
Well, I watched his last pass. He was on the verge of blowing tires off because he went up
your own data.
Yeah, I was watching him. Yeah. And I'm wanting him to do good. I mean, even though we don't really get
along. Yeah, he's 405.
Yeah, I want him to do good. So I'm like, hey, dude, I would probably take a little bite out of the car and lower them wheelie bars. You know, and I bet you can apply more power down low. Oh, man, I was on all three and 60 foot. I don't need no help.
See, that
he went up on the bars and went left, and that dude drove right around him.
Like you're more race car than me, because even if I noticed something like that, I probably wouldn't say anything.
Well, see, that's my personality, though. Like, I don't just, like, crew with people.
You and
like,
Monkey,
I want
to
own it.
You and Monkey both, man. It doesn't matter what the hell's going on, who it is, you're over there helping.
Well, I don't even care. Shane, I don't think Shane likes me either, but, I would help him. If I seen one tire flat and the other one aired up, or he lined up crooked, I would try to help. I'd be like, hey, hold on, he's crooked, But that's just who I am, and that's who my brother is, and that all came from Bud Heavy. He taught us.
But wait, who? Who? Please repeat that. Who?
Bud Heavy.
Who's Bud Heavy?
Well, that would be the nickname that you gave Monkey and mine's dad.
He don't drink Bud Light.
No. Hell, he wouldn't drink that pussy shit.
No, you can't get full off that. If you drink Bud Light, you end up having to eat dinner.
Yeah. So you come from a long line of race cars or deers or whatever you're going to be.
Or at least, what the business is. But
so, I know you pretty well. I'm not even sure if I know what that meant.
Well, like Monkey, he's going to tell you what the business is. And that's him and my dad are a lot alike.
Yes.
Very quiet, very reserved, don't have a lot to say until they start drinking. Both of them exactly the same way. That once Jason starts drinking,
he's going to tell you the deal.
He's going to tell everybody the deal. But both of them super intelligent, good at what they do, but they know the deal every time. Even if they don't know the deal, you're still going to get the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why every time.
You can't argue with them because then they'll prove you that their deal is right.
Yeah. Every time me and Monkey work together in a professional setting, like we've had jobs like where we punch a clock together and like we end up fist fighting because
I can't see you two punching a clock anywhere.
We're very good at that. I mean, we're real good or
you
anything.
You can't punctual.
But like you said, I mean, nothing cool happens until we got there anyway.
Exactly. Hey, and that's what you said when you came with me for a week.
Yeah.
The third day he was with me, he was like, this is one of the greatest trips I've ever taken. And I was like, why? And he said, because I haven't been late to anything. Yeah. Like, because you're not going to be late because Justin's not down at the truck yet anyway.
Yeah.
So it was great. He was like, he was just like, you guys just text me whenever we're supposed to be somewhere because I just can't be late all day. He's just like, I just can't. This is the greatest thing ever. We can't be late.
I usually stress about being on time and know I'm going to be late anyways, but I would just turn my ringer on and go to sleep and figure, they'll call me when they get up.
Yep.
I mean, they ain't going to leave me.
No. Because you're a race car.
I mean, I ain't got no other race car with them.
But you would wake up anyways once they start pulling out.
Well, I woke up when the horse was going clippity-cloppity, clippity-cloppity. I think we all kind of three got up, started texting each other, be like, what was that? And y'all hungry?
Are y'all hungry?
Yeah, then we food. Then we food. It's time to food.
Then we're going to watch a movie, and then we went right back into race car in this other movie.
Yeah, we missed out on the movie deal. I'm just race car. So now you're building race engines for a living at Henson Racing Engines.
Yep, and helping Mike on the Plan B car.
You crew chief the Plan B car for Mike Henson.
Yep, I've been part of that for, I guess, 3 years now.
Right, and it's had some serious success, and the beefs that you have with some of these guys, while they're serious, and it's probably going to eventually turn into something more, as of right now, it's just kind of there. We just all know it. You just deal with it. You go race car. You don't worry about it.
I avoid it. I mean, there's no doubt when you walk by Goad, he's not happy about me walking by or anything, but we just function. I mean, I don't think is to a point where we're going to fist fight every time we see each other.
As long as there's race cars there, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Right. I mean, right up until we race each other, like when that day comes.
Oh, really? Gonna be a good one. Is that going to be bad?
Oh, I'm sure, because I'm going to beat him, and he's going to be mad.
Okay. So you're going to go to us with us to Memphis and help us race car on the Cro-Mad and the Nova, the murder car, as you call it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to run threes without me. So I'm going to have to go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
make that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, what if the bearings
Somebody
give
may
up?
Need to slide some new bearings in that rig
I mean, I
in between
used
rounds.
All the sandpaper we had last time to make the bearings fit.
What about murder car? Oh, you have man. A lot of opinions about murder car.
Oh, man. That car. I mean, I know these listeners hadn't seen it up close, but jeez. I mean, it's so bad that the body shakes and, like, hits the cage and, like, dents the roof area, like, where the little spike goes in. That's all bent up. And I'm looking at it like, what is that from? And the monkey's like, well, that's when your tire shakes, the body shakes off the cage and hits the body. I'm like, why?
Waters that hole out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time that McDougal come over to the shop and we were he was picking up something, we were doing something, and the Nova was on the lift.
Oh.
And he walked in, and he started looking under it, and he goes, man, he goes, this car is way cooler than I thought it was.
Yeah. It looks like something he could have built.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, and you're like, damn, that's a nice car on TV.
Yeah.
And then you, like, go to his shop, and you're like, whoa.
You've been
I like this car.
How fast you been in this thing?
This is perfect. This is
every right time I see him get sketchy, it really makes me worry for his safety. I'm like,
and that's bad.
I worry for
someone else.
Yeah. I mean, because Sean don't drive easy. Sean's not your, like, you know, your goad where he's going to go down there and let out and lose. I mean,
maybe this is why goad doesn't like you.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Sean's like the kind of guy that's going to make it happen. Like, he's going to be in the gas until he's either over the curb or over the line every time.
That's what he said. Back, well, hell, when he's in Georgia, he said, I'm going to crash this thing or I'm going to win. One of the two.
Sean's balls deep in the driver's seat.
And I know him well enough. He's a race car driver. Like, that's what he is.
I'm not a full-blown race car.
But he's a race car driver for damn sure.
Okay. I gotcha. I mean, he's a race car driver.
I mean, I've been through some pretty sketchy shit in that car, and if you tell me that I should have lifted, then I kind of feel like I may have fucked up.
Yeah. I look at it sometimes and think, man, I don't know. I look pretty sketchy. But so, he comes back with a smile on his face and usually win. I mean, that's usually how it works for him.
Yeah, he's done really well with the car.
I mean, you know, there was a point in time where we had conversations when I first got into the game that nobody ever beat him. I mean, nobody could run a 470.
Yeah, there
was
a moment. There was a moment there. There was a good solid year there when people really thought that he was just never going to be beat.
Right after the Ronnie Pace days.
Yeah,
it was like Ronnie Pace was like King Ding-a-ling and then Murder Nova. And everybody was like, dude, that car is just, you can't beat
it
that.
It works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe not on the track, but it works on the street pretty well.
It's a good car.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of the turning point for the heavyweight street cars. That was whenever it went the other way, because we were all happy because the 3,600 pound Nova was king of the street and wasn't beatable. Well, then all of a sudden we started to figure out that, it was cool. He was faster than everybody because he had more horsepower, but now all of a sudden he's starting to have to deal with these lighter weight cars. And it was like, okay, we're getting lightweight cars now because people are just, you know, they would show up with a lighter weight car that doesn't make as much power, doesn't run it fast at the track, but it could do good on the street because it wouldn't have to pull any power out, you know. And that was kind of the turning point. That was what started, you know, the Sonoma.
That's what brought the Sonoma to the point that it's at.
Yeah, the whole reason the Sonoma was what it was is because, you know, it was a heavyweight street car. And
with a Pro Charger.
It tried to be like Murder Nova.
It's had everything.
It wasn't Murder Nova.
No.
Murder car.
Yeah. And then Sean turns around and tells the owner, that truck will never beat me.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
I did. I said that.
Well, we owe a lot of how fast we all are today to Sean's cocky ass.
Yeah.
Because he says things like that. So then the Sonoma came out, you know, and their plan was to make it lightweight with a big motor and it worked and it did. And it was, you know, it was tough to beat. And then took it for granted.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I think I owe a lot of my wins on the street to a cool head because I didn't care.
Yeah,
that was a large part of it.
I feel like I would never mess up. You couldn't do anything to throw me off my game. And my game was 2-3 o'clock in the morning, dark street, you know, and I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, it was weird.
Of
all the guys that we race card with, you know, Sean didn't have that He didn't get nervous. He wasn't scared of cops. He wasn't scared of getting a ticket. He wasn't scared of getting a car impounded. Wasn't scared of crashing. Wasn't scared of fire. Like, he was just there to street race, to drive the car, just like you said. I mean,
some of that stems from he's not super bright either.
Yeah, he does.
I remember, like, flip-flops and shorts thinking, I didn't even know him. And I was like, I like that guy. Like, he had Dickies and flip-flops on getting in a four-second car on I-35 on a service road.
Right, with a 10-second cage in it.
Not even that.
Yeah.
At the time, it damn sure was.
That cage would probably hurt me worse than it helped me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, like, me and Monkey, because we were quiet in the back. We didn't know y'all. We had just gotten the invite section. And then we started hearing about these street races. Right. So sometimes we'd leave the race car at home and just go watch.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I knew y'all were scared of it, so I didn't bring it out all the time. Yeah,
I definitely didn't want to race that thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to bump into it, get cut or something.
Yeah.
Get some shit you
can't. So we leave it at home, and me and Monkey had rolled to town and watch y'all race, and I remember seeing him the first time and thought, man, that thing can burn out.
That thing can burn out.
Blower car can burn out.
I'm pretty sure time stopped when you was burning out.
Oh, it was so loud.
It was vicious.
It was unbelievably loud. That was, and then we
started. And then backwards track and the king of the concrete and that whole thing kicked off. I mean, when y'all invented no prep, I mean, because without a doubt, I feel like y'all kind of invented that.
We had a lot to do with it, you know.
I mean, there was the Chicago thing.
It's hard to say exactly who invented the no prep because the Chicago guys had kind of came out with their deal around about the same time, but, you know, their deal was named King of the Streets, but it was at a racetrack, you know what I mean? But
theirs was always, like, taking the light just not prepping it.
Yeah, and Boosted won one of the first ones up there. Yeah. But, yeah, it was – but they were doing no preps pretty early, and then – you know,
we were racing backwards, like full idiots.
Yeah, we were doing the backwards track thing, but
like racing towards the starting line was a terrible idea.
That was cool.
It was cool. I liked it.
It kind of all stemmed from that same, you know, street race mentality. And, you know, we had the opportunity to do it somewhere else, so we tried it somewhere else. You know,
well, not only that, I mean, we go to the track every weekend and there'd be 500-600 people at the track. You throw a backwards track and 5,000 people showed up, and all of us stood there thinking, wow.
Yeah, no bleachers.
We're
no,
on to something.
No bleachers, no concession stands.
I mean, people just standing on the walls, on the back, standing on the roofs of trucks. It was just crazy. Because all the bracket racers are pulling out because they had a bracket race that day.
And just mad.
And we were rolling in, and the line was backed all the way up to Noble trying to get in.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just like, wow.
And it's because we, you know, the people before us that made drag racing cool and what we think is cool about drag racing, we keep that. You know what I mean? We're not going to shy away from that. We're not going to go away from what we think is cool. Just because, you know, hundreds of people or rich guys or you know, a whole organization that controls drag racing in this country, just because those people don't like what we're doing or because they don't think it's cool or whatever, like, we don't care. We think it's cool. And so we do it. And the thing about drag racing that made drag racing so cool was that, you know, the cars and the nicknames and the personalities and the, you know, the difference in cars. Like, there's always a difference in cars in what we do. It's weird. Like, you can go enter a class or you can go to the track or you can go watch bracket racing or whatever. But when you come out on the street or you go to a street race or a no prep, you're going to see a multitude of different crazy ass cars with different nicknames and drivers that have personalities. And, like, you have somebody to root for, you have somebody to go with, and you know them from the websites or from social media. You kind of know the struggles that they've went through to get there, and so it's like it gives you this feeling of, you know, drag racing is badass again, you know, rather than, oh well, you know, make sure you thank Napa and you know, God and then Titleist and
Lucas
then
Oil
and
whoever else,
and then, oh no, we want a Cobalt too. Everyone knows Cobalt, so let's get a Cobalt, and oh, that one's red, so ours is going to be red. You know, kind of red. We'll just do
blue
a black.
Stripe.
Yeah, we'll
black
put a blue stripe. Yeah. And you don't want to say anything. You don't want to do anything different. You don't want to have anything.
Yeah, you
weird.
Don't want to stand out.
You don't want to be loud because then people won't like you if you're too race car.
Right. Yeah. If you're too race car.
Yeah. They won't like you at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of that is leaving drag racing or has left drag racing. But now, man, all of a sudden, like, people are bringing it back and it's a big deal again. And you got guys like, you know, I was just telling Keith Haney, I texted him just the other day and was like, hey, man, like, you know, I've known him for a long time. When I first met him, I didn't feel like he understood what was badass about drag racing. You know what I mean? Like, he called me and he said, man, I've got a pro nitrous team and I want you to help me tune on the car and look at the car and, you know, go race car, you know? And I just couldn't believe it. 'Cause I was like, holy crap, like, let's do it. This is going to be awesome. Yeah. But then when I went, we didn't really mesh, you know what I mean? Like the team, because they were all, you know, like professional race car guys.
Yeah.
And
like on you're time some and
fuggy ass fucking
yeah,
street racer. Yeah.
And I'm over here like, let's bang it through the motor. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like yeah. Let's,
fuck let's, yeah. You got five yeah. kits. There's yeah. three bangs five per kit.
Let's bang this bitch through the motor on the line.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get in this guy's head, you know? And so it was a different type of deal. We didn't really mesh very well then. But then, you know, Keith Haney's been in this for a while now and he's kind of come into his own thing. So
he's
like,
getting it.
So well, like, well, he's just kind of, I think he's maybe always got it or he maybe always wanted it, but he wasn't able to because of the company that he was, you know, keeping and the things that he wanted to do in drag racing, you can't really be like us. You know what I mean? Because people won't, they won't accept well, you.
You could pull their money from you.
Or
look how
take
many years he raced that Pro Nitrous car. You could put that thing in a lineup and nobody even pick it out and tell you who's it was. You take that new car, that Enigma car, and everybody's like, "Oh, that's Keith Haney's car."
So
exactly.
Now, yeah. So now,
because you know, now it's a big deal. It's got a name. It was cool.
Well, because he's decided to get rid of all that worry of are these people going to accept me? Are these people going to think I'm cool? Are these people going to let me race them? Are they going to give me money? Are they going to sponsor me? You know, he's released all that. Now he's just whoever the fuck he wants to be, doing whatever the fuck he wants to do. And that is what makes drag racing cool. So him doing that and making videos and talking shit.
Yeah, he talked so much shit before that race. And then he went out there.
I'm just glad he showed up and backed
out. Oh,
dude. Because he'd have been a joke on him if he showed up and flopped.
I thought it was awesome.
I was excited when I saw him run that fast, the number one qualifier. I was just like, damn.
Yes. Well, that
the dude did. I mean, look how cocky he was. He put on the window in Georgia, instead of putting his name on the window, he put, "You know my name."
Yep.
And what's fucked up about that is, even if you don't know who Keith Haney is, if you see his door and it says, "You know my name," you're going to try and find out who that is because you feel like, I should know this guy. Who is this?
And then after that, even if you don't know his name right then, you're going to find out what it is and you'll always know it.
Yeah. And then he did. So I just thought that he was doing it because it was a part-time gig in the radio stuff. He could do whatever he wanted because the radio thing's not as controlled as some of the other stuff that he does, and it's not as handled, and it's not as, you know, looked at and, you know, criticized. So I just thought he was kind of doing it because the radio deal, he can kind of be whoever he wants because it's radio. Like, everybody there is kind of nutcases.
It's almost street-type environment.
It's a little bit different.
The same type of people. The same type of guys.
Right. Yeah. So
the same type of people you see at the radio race, you might see at a street race.
Yeah, you might.
Maybe not with the same car, but the same type of people.
So. And you definitely could have seen a bunch of them.
Can't afford two cars.
Who's got two cars?
You definitely could have seen a bunch of them 10 or 15 years ago at a street race because, you know, that's kind of the racing that they came from. So I just thought he was doing that. Well, then all of a sudden I hear that his new PDRA Pro Nitrous car, I mean, we're talking top level competition car here, is the same type of deal. It looks almost the same. Instead of Enigma, this one's called Notorious. It's got "You Know My Name" on
That's
it. It's got
cool
no
name,
sponsor shit all over it. And he's telling everybody he has the fastest nitrous car in the world, period. And everyone can basically suck his dick. And, like, that's a big deal because PDRA is kind of a big thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of guys looking at that going, you know, man, this guy's lost his fucking mind.
Well, yeah, you got 18 millionaire stackers lined up, and those guys saying, "Man, you should go over there." He don't even got one comp sticker on his car. Not one.
He didn't even have a JEG sticker on there.
How in the world is he going to get contention money?
Yeah. So, but he doesn't, dude. He's down to bring. He's down to be a part of what made drag racing badass. And so, you know, good luck to him, dude. I hope he kicks a bunch of ass. I hope he shoves it all down their fucking throats.
Guys like him reinventing themselves. The NHRA, PDRA, NMRA, all that stuff will just fade out because those guys aren't interesting.
Eventually, like, if you're the sponsors are gonna go away because you can only find so many companies that are, you know, gonna give you money to drag race. That's like a very strict don't say this type of company. Eventually, you're gonna have to get into some risky companies, and they're gonna go, you know, how many people know who you are? You know what I mean? What's your Facebook like? You know, you know, you could be a badass drag racer, but your Facebook ain't going to have shit and your social media ain't going to have shit because
your sponsor will.
Because nobody gives a fuck who you are. But
you can download a book on audible.com.
But yeah, hey, even if it gets that bad, you can always spend your time on the go downloading a book at audible.com. Over 180,000 titles.
Anything you want.
Like, you could read, like, How to Be a Race Car.
Yeah. They got that book,
I'm sure.
There's
got to be a lot of race car books on there.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
Anyway, hopefully drag racing becomes badass again. Yeah. And hopefully we're a part of it.
And by the look of Ducks' last race, it looks like it. I mean, you know, and it's cool to see people turn it into a family event again.
Yep, and this Memphis deal, we're going to Memphis March 17th to the 20th.
Yeah, like soon. And I think 8 days.
We're taking our crew and McDougal. We're taking him. He's a race car. We're taking him.
He's a race car.
I'll be at the trailer with the race cars.
Yeah, so if you see McDougal, just you know, tell him, hey, man, you're a good-looking race car.
Yeah, like, I like your tires. Them radials are not.
Yeah. But I have to say, man, like, I'm anxious to go to Memphis. I want to go see how fast we can go. I want to see if we can qualify and do decent or whatever and have a good time. I want to do all that, but, man, I don't know. These streets be calling.
I know.
Streets be calling.
Like when you come back.
These streets because street racing shit be calling me.
But you got like 12 hours to get the big tires on and test
it. Dude, I want to do it right now. Like there, we had a nice day a couple days ago, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, dude, I could change the third member, put the big tires on it, hang the wheelie bars off of it, and I could go up the road and make a hit or two. Like, I wanted to do it so bad. You know those nights when you come from winter and then all of a sudden you have one of those nights where you walk outside like
it's like 60 degrees.
And you're like, you walk outside and you feel it and you smell it in the air and you go, oh, my God.
Yep. It's race car time.
Yep.
Because normally on those nights, if you're putting the kids to bed, you're telling everybody good night, you got done eating dinner, it was a nice, you know, nice night, but you know that all your buddies are going to meet you at the shop 11 to get the trailer, and y'all are going to go race car.
At 11?
Well, you guys are going to be here at 11. I'll be here right. A little after.
1:30.
But you won't race car without
me. Car will
be
loaded, though. It'll be ready.
Yep.
So, yeah, these streets is calling me, dude. I'm getting the itch really bad to get back on the street, dude.
I can't wait till we beat that carbon fiber car all to hell on the streets. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to fuck that car up.
They have pieces hanging off it and duct tape all over it.
But it'll be fast.
Oh, man. It's going to be hate.
It is going to be hateful on the street.
These guys, like, I feel bad for all these guys spending all their money trying to make the cars light. Mm-hmm. They're spending all their money trying to make their cars light, and I feel like they're just going to be fighting for second place. I mean, it's just really sad.
Nice.
I'll be, that's what I was fixing to ask you.
What's your predictions? Because everybody's changing their cars. Everybody's going crazy on their cars. They see Chief get a lightweight car and it's like, oh God, we gotta do something.
Man, my car weighs 2400 pounds with a 5.3 bore space motor.
So what's your you've kind of seen the if you look online and you get on social media, you can see some of the updates from the other guys, where their cars are at, what their cars look like. What's your take on 2016, summer of 2016? What do you got?
I think they fucked up.
Really?
I really do.
All of them?
Everybody that changed anything, which was all of them.
Yeah,
I think they fucked up. I mean, I really like a lot of those guys. Like, I like Doc and Jerry, and those guys are friends of mine. And I just hate to see them change everything because they're so old school. They don't know electronics. They don't know data. They don't know what to do with it when they got it. They have it, but they don't even know how to pull it down and look at it. They don't even know what it is. And if they did pull it off, they'd be like, well, I don't know what that squiggly line does. I mean, what do you do to that? I mean, it's got a squiggly here and a squiggly over there. You just put more nitrous to it, right? I mean, and they had just got their cars rolling. The last couple passes I've seen.
I will agree.
They were rolling. I mean, anybody would have had their hands full with their last couple of passes.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, it would have been a drag race with any car on the streets. So for them to change everything, go to strut front ends, go to, you know, these big, mean, long, stretched out cars that are going to be super light, changes everything for them. That's back to square one. And think how many years it took them to get to where they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like they're going to roll their cars out of the shop and then just go and make 430 passes. That's not going to happen.
I did.
Well, you're a race car.
Well, I'm a fucking race car.
That's what a lot of them think.
And though, you have race car friends. That's the big difference.
Yeah, we race car around here.
I mean, that's, if you're willing to not sleep and be a zombie at work and
learn. If you're willing, learn. That's the other thing. A lot of these guys aren't willing to learn because they're scared that they're going to fuck up and they don't want. They don't want that confrontation. I mean, they don't want to be the ones who try their hardest and still come up short.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they would rather not. You know, they'd rather somebody else tune it or somebody else do it.
Why you catch deals with, like, hey, man, I'm going to bring my car by the shop. You take a look at the nitrous. You know, like, fuck that. Pull your car in your own shed and take a look at the nitrous.
Shed.
Yep. I mean.
Shed.
Little, I mean, I don't like. I mean, I even like you. And we're going to have your help with Hens' new turbo deal. But once you get us running and all that, like, I'm going to own that. Like, I'm not going to ask you to come put a winning tune-up in it. I'm going to ask you, like, hey, man, how do we get this thing fired up? Like, once we get to that, like, I'm going to take it from
we,
there.
We can get it after that.
Yeah, just get this thing running, because right now it's shooting things out the exhaust and it's not going well.
Yeah, so you guys went twin turbo, plan B.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel like we can just take the tune-up straight out of my car. And
murder car tune-up.
You guys don't need me at all then. You're good.
We might just bypass you.
You might just bypass me altogether.
Yeah. Well, because I don't want you to know my secrets. I'll have, like, Chief beating tune-up in there.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, the car used to be like 2,400 pounds. Now it'll be 3,400 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike's the only one going
the other way.
Yeah. Henson's the only one going the other way.
Yeah. We have now switched roles. We showed up with a car that was so light and so different from everybody that we got kicked out of Outlaw Unlimited races. Like, we show up to an Outlaw race and run what you brung, whatever it is, door cars only, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and so they called me 3 days
before.
You got
kicked out of a no prep where the class was called Outlaw, run what you brung, door cars only.
Correct.
And you brought a door car.
Well, 3 days prior, see, we got told 6 months prior, you're in, I don't care, nobody's going to tell me no, you know.
Yeah, you,
well, I guess some we got local by the homies.
Yeah, a lot of the racers didn't want to race that lightweight Corvette with a big motor.
Because we had been 440s, but what they didn't know is you had already been 440s too.
Yeah, I just don't tell them.
You just don't tell anybody. So they were like, nobody goes 440s. I'm like, wait a minute.
So they let me in, knowing that I had been 440s, but they wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, they didn't say anything to us. Yeah.
Right. So they tell us, no, you're not in 3 days later. So I stew on it all night, and I come up with a plan. And I called Sean, and Sean had a set of wheels and on your tires. And I come over to your house and broke into your shop, stole your wheels and tires.
Yeah, I remember.
29 10 5s.
And you put small tires on the car because the small tire class had no rules.
He told me
tire.
That. He said, it's 29 10 5, run what you brung. No rules, no power adders, no weight, no nothing, no chassis rules or nothing. I was like, okay, cool. Mark's down for one. He's like, all right, buddy, see you there. I pull in the gate with 29 10 5s on Henson's Pro Mod. It was a bad deal, man. He come running to the gate. I mean,
the promoter did.
The promoter came running to the gate. And he's like, I told you you couldn't race this car here. I said, hey, man, we got 29 10 5s on there. I don't know what the problem is. We're not in big tire no more. We're a small tire car. And he's like, I don't care if it had front runners on the back. You ain't racing here. I already told you that. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I was like, hey, man, I called you and told you Marcus down for me. Because I didn't know you were talking about this car. I was like, well, I don't have a different car. I mean, we ain't got multiple cars. This is the only car we got.
What car do you think I was bringing?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't going to, like, show up with a Mustang.
Yeah.
And so he gets mad, and then I get over there and, of course, get out of the truck. And
you said some things.
I got animated. I was really upset.
Animated?
I mean, you got to remember, this is, like, October, November. It was, what, 20 grand to win or 15
and
grand to win?
All you wanted to do was race car.
Man, and I'll be honest, me and Mike had talked about it before. I had eat, slept, and breathed this car all year. I felt like we had a car that could win big tire or small tire. I felt like we had a chance in either class, whatever they let us race in. So I brought both sets. I brought the big tires, too. And they wasn't going to let us race. And, you know, it was close to Christmas. I wanted the money, you know, because we were going to split it. And so I was, like, banking on taking some of this.
And then you got somebody telling you that you can't race car.
Right. Even though you are a race car.
Man, I was as mad as I've ever been in the history of me being mad. And I got in that driver's meeting, and man, they were like, get him out of here. He can't be here. And
then you had a guy follow you around the rest
of
the time.
Well, then I yelled and screamed and hollered, and then the guy with the gun, with the badge, he followed me everywhere.
Not just the guy with the gun. He also had a badge.
Yeah, he had a badge.
I think he was an off-duty cop.
You had a full-on fucking police escort the whole time you were at this
everywhere
race.
Everywhere I went.
Like, you came over to our pits, and you're like, hey, guys, look what I got.
He was right behind me.
And he was right there.
I didn't even have to look, because I knew he'd be there. I'd be like, hey, man, check this guy out right behind me. He's got a gun. And then y'all would look and be like, hey, what's up, man?
I remember you trying to lose him.
Yeah. I'd be, like, in a crowd of people, and I would, like, get right next to somebody big like Sean, because he's 6'12". And I'd hide next to him and duck down. And then the guy would be like, stand on sippy toes looking for me. I trolled him pretty hard that day.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But these things like that, I mean, I can't act right in public. I mean, that's why people don't like me so much.
Well, that's why we bring you around.
And that's why we only really want to bring you to race car things.
But that's the thing is, like, these people, like, get mad at me. And they're like, I don't like you. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like,
look.
I am a race car.
Like, I'm going to be here next weekend.
Just tell them that. Look, man.
I do.
I'm a fucking race car.
I do. I mean, people all the time tell me they don't like me because they don't like me. I'm like, dude, I don't care. I wouldn't care if you did like me. It wouldn't have changed me being here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here.
Still going to race car.
There's been times Chief didn't like me, and I still showed up.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey,
There was times when I didn't like you and you tried to leave our group text and I said, you're not leaving.
Yeah, no, it's blood in, blood out.
The only way you get out of the group text is if Juice kicks you out. That's it.
That's yeah. it.
And you got to fuck up pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I'm safe.
He kicked out
with
Phantom.
Juice.
He kicked out Striker.
Oh, he did. He kicked out Big Rob.
He kicked out Big Rob.
Phantom went green on us. I think that's why he got.
He did.
Well,
Juice just starts new text.
He got in his feelings pretty good there for a little while, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like an estrogen thing going on or something. I don't know, but it got weird.
He started getting on the E.
But he's back.
He's 100% now. We're good.
Yeah.
So future is 2016. You think all these guys are fucked? You think they're not going to get it together?
I think we're going to see a whole shakeup. I think there's going to be guys that you've never seen before doing really well, and all of our usual heavy hitters are going to be on the back burner struggling.
Because they all got new combos.
Right.
Well, what about me? I got a new combo. Am I going to struggle?
Count you out for anything. I usually consider if you're involved, it's gonna go. You know, we went to a radio race and they were like, you got a what gear in that? We're like, well, yeah, it's the only gear we got. What do you mean?
We're not gonna change it.
Well, I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for what you're saying because I didn't change my car at all. So
no, you're gonna
I'm
be...
hoping that I can go out and
shake the tires
shake
and do
the
good.
Tires and still win.
I feel like they're gonna mess around and let that little blue Nova that accidentally got on TV. I think he's going to be in the top five before they can tell him to stop.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, things like that's going
to
happen.
That's what I try and tell. No, I try and tell guys, like I try to tell Kamikaze with Dale Camino. I was like, dude, this
you
thing has
put
to
some
run.
Bigger tires on
this
and
thing has
show
to
up.
Run now. It has to run now because as soon as this fucking list opens, as soon as we start filming and this list opens,
I'd start racing. Right
you got to start race carring right away because you're going to catch all these guys slipping and you could take a car like the El Camino and go to the top if it was consistent.
Dude,
you know
if I was him, I'd have a Sawzall and I'd cut the whole back of that car and the whole bed out of it and put the biggest tires you could find in it, 36 tall.
Yeah.
And I'd go race carring right then.
That's where he's at.
I mean, because it don't make enough power.
He's at the cutout part.
Yeah.
It don't make enough power to have to, like, really worry about anything other than just...
No, he should be able to light
just
that
leave
motor.
On everything.
He should be able to light
it. I mean, a little standard bore space, you know, small bore, big block.
Yeah, 496.
Just put a big tire on and let it eat. I mean, that's what we did back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, there were 550 cars, and they were competitive.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, you show up with anything sub 520s, I mean, you can be racing.
Yeah, you can go some rounds or you can go up the list a few spots.
I mean,
you probably
ain't gonna be in the finals on cash days with a 520 car.
No, I mean you come but it also depends on the night, you know what I mean? A long night with a lot of racing, that road's gonna get
some dudes out at Seminole and you can knock off some heavy hitters.
Oh, yeah. And Kamikaze's always been good at catching the light. So,
yep,
you know,
for sure.
If he could have that car running, he'd do really well. Problem is, he's like everybody else, changed everything over winter, you know, and he has no idea where he's at. So he's got to get it going now because you know, these other guys are weeks away.
Yeah,
you know?
I hope these other guys really get their stuff together, get the right people involved. You know, like whoever's building their chassis, you know, get their 2 cents and go that direction. Take people they trust and win.
The problem is there's not very many guys, chassis guys or other experts, that have ever actually come out and done this. You know, they've helped over the phone or they've went to one race or whatever. But when you actually do this on a weekly basis and you see that, we had a killer tune-up in it for this road, and it was fast. And one more pass, and we'd have made the fastest pass ever, and we were doing good, and everything was great. Well, then all of a sudden, it rains, and that road goes to shit. Or you go to another road, or somebody uses the wrong fucking mixture, and now all of a sudden, it's the furthest tune-up from what you've ever had ever.
Or
and
somebody
you have to,
leaks oil out of their car.
Yeah. And you have to make a decision on a tune-up right then and there, as you come off the trailer for your first hit. And if you lose, you lost on television in front of 3 million people because of a tuning mistake.
And
you know,
damn sure don't want to just get outran. Turn it down far enough that you just get outran.
I've done that before. I ain't doing that ever again.
Yeah.
My shit will be all the way turned all the time. Yeah. Turned.
I agree.
Like
that's the best way to race.
Yep. If I had a place to put a fucking license plate on that car, I'd say turned. But
my
it
last
doesn't because it's a pro mod.
But it doesn't because it's a carbon body. it's never had a VIN.
My last driver wouldn't stay on the second kit when we were racing. I was like, dude, you're going to have to be on the second kit. I got a profile on that car. Two kits, not one kits. One kits every time.
One kits.
I just went back and jetted the first kit up. I said, all right, man, here you go. Let her eat.
Now it's two kits on one kits.
Now it's everything in the first one. Now you ain't got no choice.
Now you have to. Yeah. You will race car.
Now you have to go fast.
You're going
to
race car. We're going to make you.
Yeah. I mean, we clicked that thing off really fast. I mean, there were some.
No, that car was fast. I raced it in the final. It was fast. I believe that We had two of the fastest hot rods on the property that night.
If we had that final four, if we had drew it the other way, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have. Yeah, it would have.
I mean, we would have knocked them boys out because that pass before when we raced you, that would have beat Kai.
Right.
For you know, even off
and
the
my race. Pass when I raced Shane would have beat, I feel like, just about anybody. It was fucking mowed. Yeah.
We were struggling after the Flocko race. I mean, we hurt the tranny then and then struggled after that.
Well, it's going to be a good year. 2016 is going to be the summer of 2016 is going to be one to remember for sure.
Yeah, it can't get here fast.
So this top 10 list that we've been talking about the whole time, we have our own top 10 list here. And since you're a guest here, as a awesome. You're a race car guest, awesome. I'm going to ask you these questions here.
Okay.
Number 10 with McDougal, carbureted or fuel injected?
Carbureted. I put carburetors on fuel injected cars.
Yeah. Okay.
He takes injected cars and turns them into carbureted cars.
I had an 04 GTO with a carburetor on there. Everybody's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Why? Like, it wouldn't idle.
Why?
Yeah. I fixed it.
It wouldn't idle, so I fixed it.
No more issue.
Number 9, Goad or Chuck?
Like, least favorite or most favorite?
Goad or Chuck?
And I'm going to have to go with Chuck. Okay. He's more tolerable.
Number 8, big tire or small tire?
Big.
Course
or bigger
or bigger than that,
yeah, or radials.
Number 7, grudge race or no prep?
I really dig the no prep stuff.
I know you do.
I really like it.
You're big in the no prep. I mean, you hit the wall in one no prep and still like it.
I still cross finish line from a goad.
Oh god, this is why goad doesn't like you. I think I'm starting to realize
they
why.
did call him the winner. In his defense, he was the winner because it disqualified me for hitting my own wall.
You shouldn't
but I was in front of him.
You shouldn't be disqualified from hitting your own wall.
Remember that deal with the Armageddon we addressed?
Yeah. That's the bonus wall. You can do whatever
wall.
You
can do whatever you want with that wall.
Yeah, I scrubbed some speed off and gave him a chance and still didn't catch me.
Not enough.
Oh god. Number 6. Bud Light or Bud Heavy?
I'm gonna have to go up Bud Heavy. It's in the blood.
Number 5, nitrous or turbo? Because you've been nitrous forever. Now you got new cars going turbo. What do you got here? Nitrous or turbo?
Man, I'm gonna have to go with nitrous. It's been the thing.
Plus, it allows you to race car more.
Yeah.
If you really like race car, you better just put nitrous on it.
Number 4, shaved or hairy?
We'll call the middle road.
What's the middle road?
Like in between. Like 3 days after the shave.
Okay. All right.
So I like that one.
He likes a 5 o'clock shadow
like
down
that.
There.
Yep. A little scruffy.
Oh god. Number 3. Small block or big block?
Big block.
Or bigger.
I mean, if you're gonna nitrous, you better have a big block. I did the small block of nitrous. It's a bad thing.
Yeah. Number 2, Dock or Monza?
I like Monza. Yeah. He's pretty race car. I mean, he's not good at it, but he's really fucking race car.
Well, have you seen pictures of Monza's car lately? What do you think about that deal?
Monza, stop. I'm not going to lie. Monza's car 3 years ago was the most beautiful car I'd ever seen in my life.
I agree.
I was like, holy fuck, he nailed it.
Yes.
Ever since then, it's changed, and it's not getting better.
I agree 100% on that.
Like, no, it was like the car.
Like car show type shit.
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe he's going to street race this.
Dead sexy.
Yeah. And I don't really like those Camaros, but that one was the one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that Camaro.
I know he's trying to go faster.
Now that you've seen some pictures of it recently on the internet, what do you think about it?
I think wheels make a car.
Man, those builds, especially the had, where they fit that car.
I think those wheels are pretty gross.
The cartels are the ones he has now.
The ones that are on it.
Those are welds, though.
They are welds.
Oh, Sean's taking the, if you're not going to say anything nice, don't say anything at all. All right. Okay, I get it. Number 1, street or track?
I go street.
Street?
Always.
Always? Yep. Right on.
It's cheaper. You don't got to drive as far.
Yeah. You can race car real quick, huh?
Yeah. Wherever you want, whenever you want. Nobody can tell you any rules or nothing.
Yeah. No doubt.
All right, well,
we appreciate you coming in, man.
We can't wait to go to...
It was just as much fun as what I thought it would be.
We can't wait to go to Memphis. Everybody come check us out. We're going to bring our race car, McDougal, with us, and his brother, who's also going to tell us the deal on all the race cars, Monkey. We'll have Monkey Bros and Kentucky will be there looking big as usual. Come see us in Memphis March 17th to the 20th. One more time on radios, and then that street shit be calling.
Yep. So is this where, like, probably Goad's waiting outside to beat me up?
It's not live, so you should be good.
Yeah. Oh, so I got some lead time.
You're going to at least have 30 minutes to drive
so
home.
So is this where we start doing, like, the Sunday night slow jam shout-outs?
Yeah, let's hear
this
it.
This is my boy Jared.
All right. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
I don't, me either.
We're out.
Whatever.
See ya.
Later.
Adios.